Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years, and anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time.
Now, Podcast One brings you Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Welcome to Spike's Car Radio. We got a great show for you today. This is fun. We were just talking about headphones here. Our guest today is Matt DeAndrea, lifelong automotive enthusiast, but also co-host of CarCast and a million other car things. Matt, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Zuckerman's here. Mm. I was thinking about, you know, the headphones. When I was on your show,
yeah,
right, you guys all threw on your headphones,
yeah,
and I didn't.
Yeah.
And then Adam said, what, are you trying to be cool?
Right. And he likes the headphones.
I've never understood that.
Like, he likes the headphones.
People, yeah, without headphones are cool?
I thought headphones were cool.
Yeah.
I thought the wearing of the headphones is cool.
What
is
not anymore because of what's his name? Beat, the Olympic swimmer.
Dr. Dre.
Who, the Olympic – what?
Oh, Phelps, because
Phelps.
Phelps wears them
and he's cool.
He wears his headphones.
All the time.
I know, but Adam
was
saying –
he has noise problems.
Adam was saying, you're not cool. What are you trying to be cool by not wearing them?
Right.
What
well,
is
it? Okay. I don't know. So we use them on our shows because we take phone calls. And
I know why people use headphones, yeah, Matt DeAndrea.
Okay.
I'm not coming. I don't mean to put you on the hot seat right away.
I was like,
but
his accusation,
I've been thinking about it ever since I did the show. What do you mean?
Since.
What do you mean, Adam?
I don't.
That not wearing headphones is cool? No. Let me tell you why I don't wear the headphones. And you know what? I remember when this happened. I interviewed him right after that, and I didn't bring it up.
Okay.
And I should have.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring it up to you, and you're going to have to bear the brunt of this.
All right, let's do it. My head feels naked right now.
By the way, none of us are wearing headphones right now.
No.
I don't understand the point of wearing headphones when you're having a conversation with three people around a table right here. Like, we're just talking. Why do I need headphones?
You don't, unless you're going to, like, take phone calls or something, right?
Oh,
like,
unless you're taking phone calls?
Right.
Okay. So what I do is I put one headphone over one ear.
Okay.
Frankly, I find the whole thing disorienting. Like, it's you know, when people go on quiz shows, right, they always write these questions for the guests. I don't know if you know this, but they write the questions a little easier, right? Because when a normal person gets out on a stage with lights and cameras in their face and an audience, they panic. Sometimes they don't even know their own names. And for me, when I throw those headphones on and I'm looking into my ear and I'm starting to listen to myself, and I don't want to listen to myself. It's bad enough these people have to listen to themselves.
So there's therapy for this. All of this can be resolved with the doctor.
Really?
I think what I've heard, you've been thinking about this ever since you were on the Adam Carolla show.
No, I just thought it was a very strange comment to say, what are you trying to be cool by not wearing your headphones?
Like headphones are dorky,
right.
I'm out?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing it?
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, well, here we're a headphone people here.
And I know he meant nothing by it, but it was, and it's a stray comment, but it still annoyed me. I'm a little annoyed, and I love Adam.
Well, that's the way you kick off a show with Adam, is get annoyed immediately.
He's the best.
Is that how?
I love it. You know what I love about it? He's very approachable, you know, just a really sweet guy. He's actually always been there for me, right? My wife was reminding me, years ago we called him. He was doing Loveline or something to help out with a charity event, and he announced it on the show. I mean, I think I only knew his friend Daniel Kellison at that point. And he's always been that type of friend to me. So this complaint is done with love. Peace and love. Zuckerman,
yeah,
raising an eyebrow. Anyway, we're
doing
a –
never complain about anything, ever.
We're doing a podcast not about Adam Carolla.
No, we're not. He says yes to everything, by the way. He's a good dude. Like, he just wants to do
stuff. He's a great guy. We're here with Matt DeAndrea.
Yes.
Co-host of CarCast. How did you get involved in that show, by the way?
You know, I ran a web development company in L.A. I ran a technology company for a long time. And
normal route of entry.
And, right? And that's it. That's the end of the story. And one of the big technology companies that I had worked for was a client of mine. One of the guys there was like a VP, was a cool guy, and we both kind of connected. We were in the cars. We did a couple track days at Willow Springs for fun. And then, you know, we always just stayed in touch and kind of worked with each other on and off over the years, just sort of client-vendor relationship. And then he went and he was like a high school friend of Adam's.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam was starting the podcast. He started Adam Carolla Show.
So this is right after the radio show, right?
Yeah.
And Adam's brilliant move is he's got this radio show. He replaces Howard Stern, as I recall. They decide they're not going to do the Adam Carolla Show anymore. And he tells his million-plus listeners, hey, tomorrow I'm going to be in my kitchen with a microphone. I don't know what's going to happen, but find me on adamcarolla.com.
Yeah, pretty much. It was like a 72-hour thing. He's like, I don't know what a podcast is, but if I can still talk to these people, let's
do
it. And
as legend goes, he was in his underwear walking around making coffee just talking, right? And that was the beginning of this podcast thing, right?
So about 6 months after he started that,
But think about that moment, Zuckerman.
I remember the moment.
But being prescient enough to go, hey, to all of my people, rather than getting this fan base back, just show up tomorrow to my website and something will be happening. That's a pretty exciting little moment for broadcasting.
It's genius. I remember the moment and I remember thinking, well, there goes another guy we'll never hear of again. Because I'm dumb and I have contempt before investigation all the time.
Right. But really, there's an innovative moment happening there. So he does that. He gets this podcast thing going.
Right. Before Podcast One, before anything.
Right, right,
so
right.
There was also like this learning curve, like telling people what's a podcast and what you're doing. And so about 6 months into it, he started CarCast with this friend of his, and that guy called me and he's like, hey, I know you're kind of moving out of technology, getting more into the automotive like as a profession. How do you feel about maybe coming in and trying to produce the show? I had already known most of everybody in the automotive mm-hmm. aftermarket, so I thought it as an opportunity to start to go out and put people on the show that are interesting car guys and people in the manufacturing part of the world, but that aren't car guy celebrities. Like now,
right.
Now there's, you know, there's guys like John Hotchkiss, the suspension guy, who's done TV and different shows, and Ken Lingenfelter. Ken Lingenfelter goes to car shows and events now and signs autographs. But you would never think back then like, hey, who, you know, John Hotchkiss is a great racer, his family's racers, and he owns a suspension company in Santa Fe Springs. How about bring him in as a guest? And let's talk about how he built the company and the suspension, the dynamics of it. And so I started producing that. And then eventually Adam, you know, said, why don't you co-host it with me? And I said, sure.
And there you go.
And that was it. But it was great to do. And you're right. There was such a learning. I don't even think Adam was allowed to even make money in that first year. I think he was still basically under a radio contract.
Right, right.
And he just had to pay out of pocket. He was just like, I just want to do this for the fans. Let's just do this for as long as we can.
It's an amazing moment. Brilliant. Now, Zuckerman, so Podcast One has 200 podcasts, all right? There are 200 of us here. CarCast is one of them. Adam mm-hmm. Carolla Show. There are a bunch more. Adam, I was told, is 50% of the business of Podcast One.
Yeah, Carolla Digital.
Just one guy, Carolla Digital, for what they're doing, making money.
So impressive.
It's impressive.
So impressive.
And how many car casts a week do you do? Are you doing five a week at this point? Or
no. Thanks for asking, Spike, because we do one a week, but we're just launching this second episode. But we're expanding the CarCast brand. I'm going to continue to do once a week with Adam because he loves so much vintage racing and car collecting. We've had this conversation many times. But I'm also going to do a second weekly show with Goldberg, the wrestler.
Oh, you are. You got Goldberg. Now, awesome. I worked with Goldberg. Goldberg is nuts.
He's nuts, but he's such a
And I love him. And he's a car guy. You know, we did a pilot with him with Magnus Walker. In fact, it was a special that aired on History, I think, and that was quite a meeting of minds, those two. We had Magnus Walker and Crazy Goldberg, and, I'd love to show you the B-roll.
Because as you're listening to this show, we would already be in the studio, but we're literally starting the first show.
I like that.
You know, like,
and what are you guys going to talk about on this podcast?
Well, so now we can get more into the muscle car market, the aftermarket, everything you see at SEMA. He's got a collection of like 22 or so muscle cars, and he's got two Hellcats, a Charger and a Challenger Hellcat.
And
he's got two demons.
He lives near a runway that he runs them on, right?
He does, for charity events too as well. Yeah, he runs his Lawman Mustang out there, does tons of charity stuff for the military, loves all that stuff. And but also we
and he's one, also just one of these wrestling car collectors. Like John Cena is emerging right now on YouTube with his car collection. He's talking about cars. And what's funny about both these guys is they're,
I don't know if Cena's a car guy yet or just a guy who buys cars. Look,
he's every week he's putting out videos on YouTube. And he's getting sued by Ford for some of it. But, but what I like about both those guys is they're buying cars and they're building cars that kind of look like versions of themselves, well, like steroided out wrestler mobiles.
Because Bill only can fit in a certain amount of cars.
Right. You know, but they're also – the engines are jacked up. Like, it's, you have
it's
that
an
Cobra
extension
that's
of personality.
It's an extension of this wrestling personality. Yeah, right, yeah. Right. It's its own very
Cobra.
Specific kind.
I hosted a YouTube show for GQ magazine called Car Collectors. We did a bunch of collections, and Goldberg was on it. And I was like, we've got to drive one of the cars. So just pick something insane. He's like, oh, well, the Cobra's insane. And we got into that. And I think it was Hendrick Motorsports.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hendrick Motorsports was like, hey, you know, we had a great season, whatever, years ago racing. And we've got one of these insane NASCAR engines. And he was like, do you want it? He's like, yes. Can you put it in something for me? They're like, what do you want? He goes, the lightest, stupidest thing you can find. And they're like, oh, this will be fun to put it in a Cobra, though, because it's a little, you know, it's a Chevy base motor, and we'll put it in a Cobra, and that'll piss people off, and it's super light. And we just went out and just spun around in circles and just smoky circles in that car. And he's not afraid to hammer down. That's the thing. And, you know, Goldberg's wife's a stunt woman, so.
She would have to be to lay beneath that man. So will this be where you like that, Zuckerman?
That was your best line ever.
Ooh, a dirty sex joke for you, my friend. Now, will he be coming into Corolla Digital in the Valley where you guys do your thing?
Yeah, and the best way we can figure it out.
Paint that picture for everybody, because I know you've been doing this for a while, but a lot of the listeners here are kind of Porsche guys, but the operation you guys have going on over there is wild. Zuckerman, you haven't even seen it.
I've not been there.
This is one of those kind of like, there are three of them that I know of that people talk about. There's the Seinfeld thing, there's the Leno thing, and then there's the Corolla thing, and they were all very, very different. And these guys have this kind of podcasting TV studio and then this collection of cars, and then they're building Datsun race cars at the same time in multiple buildings, right?
Well, first
of
all,
have it right?
I love that we're categorized in that group with Leno and Seinfeld as well.
Oh, please. You've got multiple buildings. But, I mean, the funny thing that you guys have added is this – well, Jay does it. Jay's Garage broadcast from his thing. But you guys have this podcasting empire in the middle of it. It's really cool. Explain it. Paint the picture
for
everybody.
Okay, well, to answer your first question is Goldberg lives down south in like the Oceanside area. Uh-huh. So the best way for us to do this type of show is for him to come up like once a month. We record four shows in
there
a day and then he's gone for a while, you know. And otherwise it just gets to be a mess. So that's kind of the goal. We'll do a few live shows and on-location shows.
And will this be a podcast one show?
It will be. It's everything through Corolla Digital ultimately is a podcast.
So will they have to get rid of one of the 200? Because Norm Pattis, who runs the thing, said not a podcast more than 200. So let's get rid of somebody right now.
Okay, well, let's cut somebody if you like. But I feel like I don't know
whose name come. Mackie and Judd, you're done. Whoever you are, I'm looking at their name.
The first name
on
the screen.
Eisen Extra. No, we're gonna keep Rich Eisen. He's great. Yeah. He does a good show.
I don't know. I made it a Corolla Digital show.
Right.
So I don't know, like, does Podcast One say they have 200 or do they have –
there's Spike's Car Radio.
Or do they have like 200 plus whatever
it doesn't
whatever
matter.
Corolla
it doesn't
Digital.
Matter. Let's
I don't
talk,
know.
Let's
yeah.
talk about what you have going on down there because it's impressive.
So Adam originally had – he had a warehouse down there that he, you know, stored some cars in and did some woodworking stuff, you know, because he was a carpenter as well and still likes to do a lot of that kind of stuff. And that sort of grew into the first podcast studio. That's the building that you came to. And there's some cars and stuff in the back and some things around.
It's a building in Gulf livery. Zuckerman, right?
Really?
Yeah.
The whole building is.
The whole building
the
is
outside.
Painted. Yeah, the outside of the building is painted in golf livery. It's got a big meatball and a number on it.
It's great.
And,
it's hilarious.
And then when you go inside, like the floors and everything are done in orange and blue.
He's got a great sense of humor.
Yeah,
huh?
Except also when you walk inside, it's like it feels like an old man's garage full of stuff. Like
artifacts
everywhere.
It's got the gas pumps and the signs.
No, yeah. It's a lot.
It's
a lot
not organized. It's just junked up in a very pleasant way.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? That'd be a nice
organic layering.
Yeah, like a woman has not set foot in there in 20 years, for sure.
Blessed. Blessed sanctuary.
This is a real man space.
That's pretty much spot on. So that's the podcast studio. Adam designed and built the studio
that's clear.
You know, we've got, like you guys got here, we got our engineering room.
Right.
And, we use headphones, so we do it a little differently. But
it's great. No, I admire your setup. Behind the glass, they have two or three guys running back and forth. Yeah. They have monitors up where they can, run video. We were talking about, hey, pull that up on YouTube. We were taking calls live. It was great. Though Will tells me here we can take calls at some point, Zuckerman.
And really? Our producers
and I think we're going to end up doing that because
I would like that.
I ask for questions, people go nuts.
I would like to have the very off-the-cuff commentary. Works for a lot of people, speaking off the cuff.
I think it would be fun just to have what Zuckerman sounds like and what I thought he looked like. Conversation with listeners, because that seems to be a very popular topic, and we're going to get to your listener questions very soon, and some of them involve that.
So really, Adam created this industry in large part.
He really did, yeah. Now, there's another building that you go to that has a beautiful collection of cars. There are Lamborghinis.
He's got some amazing.
Our production company that does the documentaries, the Paul Newman film and the 24-Hour War. We have the Willie T. Ribbs documentary coming out.
Who is Willie T. Ribbs?
He's the first black IndyCar racer. He's fantastic.
Yeah. No joke, Zuckerman.
I'm just saying he's taken this. He's really taken this and run with it.
And we're going to do the Shelby
documentary. Is Willie T. Ribbs his real name?
That's
or
a good question.
Or is that
question.
His nickname?
He's always been. I've always known him as Willie T. Ribbs.
Well, you're making the biography.
I didn't see it yet.
Oh,
I didn't get to
see it
yet.
Right.
But I'm going to say yes. Yeah. That's a great film. And the Shelby documentary we're going to have come out soon. And
do you guys put these films out on your own? Or where do people see them?
So the films are they're on chassis.com, C-H-A-S-S-Y. And that's a platform that we own. And our guys on the Chassis Media side have been acquiring a bunch of other properties as well. We have the Bug movie narrated by Ewan McGregor. I think we have an Indian motorcycle movie that Leno narrated.
Is that and who made the Bug movie?
I don't know. We didn't do it. It was just one of the ones we acquired.
Cool. An empire in the making here, Federer.
Yeah,
what are we doing?
I think it's already making. They've been made, Zuckerman.
What are we going to do?
Did you see what Adam Carolla bought? Last summer,
The 935?
Yeah, he's already made an empire. If you're buying 935s,
Paul Newman's.
We had to get the Porsche. We had to spend
$5 million, Zuckerman.
I was afraid to come in here and do a show with you guys if we didn't have one Porsche in the collection.
When you're impelled to spend $5 million.
So they have that space. They have a space full of cars. They have bays where they're working on race cars. I saw a Datsun something or other on there.
There's a couple guys.
A B210. Yeah, that's what they had.
There's a couple guys in-house that basically just work on cars full-time for Adam.
Yeah,
and we have a race shop in the back. They're restoring cars.
Oh, and he's
building
not
stuff
up there with Seinfeld or Leno.
he's just a regular guy
with his
I think it's always a treat to me in the same sentence with those
but
guys.
But of course
you have in-house
guys
mechanics.
Are.
When you have in buildings and in-house mechanics, yeah.
How many
arrived. You're okay now.
Yes.
It's all going to be okay.
We just bought a third building. And I say we because we're just part of the whole collection over there. But it's really all Adam's money and I spend it all. But
that's fantastic. And you also manage the collection a little bit too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you guys buying? What can you say?
We're not necessarily buying any cars right now. We have a few cars for sale.
Oh, mm-hmm. What do you got?
We have a 72 BMW 3.0 CSL.
Oh, we like that. What color? That's a big,
very
black,
exciting. Cuffy Crab.
How
vintage race this car.
Really?
And
that's another. Can we hook him up with Willie Ribs? Hey, Covey Crab and Willie Ribs.
Willie Ribs. And so we've got that car in black. It's great. We fires right up. We drove it around the block the other day. You know, you can only go so far before Glendale PD is like, "What's going on over
straight
there?"
Straight. That's a race car. Is that why? Okay. Does it have a title?
No, it's a race
it's a
car.
Full on
it's
race
a full
car,
race car. Yeah. So that car is fantastic. If you want to get into some vintage racing, this is the way to do it because, you know, the 3.0 CSLs are $1.2 million and this is not it's not mm-hmm. it's not the full, you know, one of the super rare ones. So we have that car. We have a 1965 Lamborghini 350 GT, and I really believe
what color is
it's
that?
Black with the it's got sort of the brownish interior,
right? I think that's the best looking. I think the later version, the 4500, is not nearly as good looking as the 3500,
right? The 400,
the 400,
yeah, the 400 GT. So we have one of those as well, but that's not for sale. But the 350, I really believe this is the nicest, pretty much all original one out there. There's been a little bit of touch up on the paint. It is absolutely stunning. The interior is all
Zuckerman,
original.
We've been seeing that car show up, not that very
yes,
car, show up in Malibu, silver. Right? That fella's
right.
been driving.
That's the guy who bought it in Scottsdale like in January.
Yeah,
I think he bought it in Scottsdale and he's been driving it around.
Right.
That
car
is beautiful.
Yeah, that's a nice car too.
That guy went instant car collection, or at least that's my impression. He bought the Miura.
I think those guys are brokers.
Oh, really?
Both those guys are brokers,
I like the idea of a black 350 because there's so much engine heat, and then you've got the black car, and you really
–
I like being desiccated in an old car.
This car
– warm.
Driving this car is cooler than not wearing headphones. You will absolutely love it.
Oh,
it is.
You're hearing a car sale, ladies and gentlemen.
You're
going to love
it.
Very
excited.
The 65 Lamborghini was the first Lamborghini production model built. This was Lamborghini's answer to Ferrari. Ferrari going, hey, screw you. We don't want to build
your car.
How many
of these
cars
did they make?
There's like 120 made.
Ooh.
They're V12s.
Zuckerman's eyebrows are flaring.
But
look at that.
In 65, they're
engorged.
They're four-wheel disc brake.
Engorged.
They're five-speed aluminum body.
His plenum is swelling right now.
Yeah. Every time you smile, the price goes up just like a little bit. So that's perfect.
Wow,
this is good.
Yes.
Now, you remember when our good friend Steve Sirio sent us a Lamborghini for you to drive, right?
Yeah,
he stopped doing this because you and I just started driving around LA and taking pictures with it and laying on it.
I think it was a 400 GT,
right?
So our friend Sirio said, can I have it put in your garage? And I said, well, why, of course. And then he sent it over to us, and then we proceeded to drive
Zuckerman,
several hundred miles.
You guys, Ferris Bueller did. You brought it back with all the miles on it.
He goes, hey, let's drive Sirio's car this weekend. I go, what do you mean? I thought you were just supposed to look at it. He goes, come on, let's just drive it. He doesn't care. And then we just hooned that thing Saturday and Sunday, threw it up on Instagram. And how quickly did he take it back?
It was quick. He was in.
If he didn't want you to drive it, why'd he leave the keys?
That's exactly my point.
It
was implied permission is
right.
What
yeah.
I say.
Now, I know Steve and I know you. What he meant and what he was doing was, I want to put this in your hangar for you to look at, and then you have the option to buy it. He didn't say, I want you cretins driving around with your green tea that you're holding right now, leaving it on the seat.
I'm shrugging, saying, oh, well. Cut off my legs and call me Shorty. I made a mistake. Okay. So
you want to sell
a
car.
Mistake, by the way. It was a prescient move, and I now look at it and go, that was really fun.
And as I said to you at the time, I said, oh, my God, I just saved 700 grand because I drove it all I needed to ever drive
in
my life. I found that car came alive at 70 miles an hour in third gear and became the most wonderful experience of my life. At other speeds and other conditions, not so great.
Okay.
But what do you expect? 65
Come drive the 350.
You know what I do remember is the ladies in my neighborhood stopping in the driveway and coming up and going, what is that?
Right.
They thought it was a beautiful
They thought Tony
creation.
From I Dream of Jeannie had shown up and they wanted a part of
it's
that.
It's rare. There's a lot of metal in my driveway on any given weekend, and that is one of the – I would say probably one of the top two hits that's
what
ever been in
it?
The driveway. It was a burgundy color.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
Nice.
Will, how many brakes do we have to do? One break? All right, let's keep going then. Let's keep talking. Well,
wait, there's another car. Just let me hear the third.
All right, what's the
third car? The third car is a 1994 Nissan 300ZX race car driven by Johnny O'Connell, Steve Millen, and John
very
Martin.
Interesting. Forget it.
Doug, did you read about that Uzi Nissan suit that was in Jalopnik this week?
No. What?
It's this guy, I guess his name is Uzi Nissan. He is just a guy who his last name is Nissan, and he went on the internet and he secured Nissan.com for his little computer company. And it wasn't until Nissan, the motor company, decided they needed an internet presence that they called him and said, we want this now. And he said, you can go fuck yourselves. It's not going to happen. He just won his lawsuit against Nissan.
He
went 10 years. He went the
crazy
distance.
Crazy Israelis. Do not fuck with crazy Israelis named Uzi Nissan. They are not, if your first name's Uzi, right?
I'm sorry. 8 years. He went eight years
okay.
Fighting Nissan. Spent all of his money fighting them to keep his name for Uzi Nissan Computers. Nissan.com. Nissan Computers.
How much do you think Nissan, the car company, offered him to buy it?
Not enough.
He said to them, don't even offer me millions of dollars. It's not happening. I'm very proud of my name, and this is mine, and I own it. And you know what? The courts finally agreed.
Yeah, I would have sold it.
I would have taken the money.
I mean, the money.
Come on. Yeah. $2 million?
Yeah, because we really haven't heard of Nissan Computer Company. Right?
Yeah. No, we're talking about it now.
Yes.
But he's a folk hero right now. And Jalopnik did
some
really—
Yeah, but he could have been rich.
Nice coverage about it. Yeah, I guess he could have.
He's got his name, though. He'll be in the Shalom retirement home behind Fairfax. But I kept my name.
Well, that will count for something, won't it?
Yes, at Cantor's at the third table on the left. He'll be telling everybody to listen how he beat Nissan.
That's a pretty good story. What's a better story, $2 million in the bank or I beat Nissan? I beat Nissan. I beat Nissan.
In 2050, no one's going to believe a word this guy says.
Well,
does he sound like a lunatic?
He can Google it on his carbon eye computer or whatever.
His iPhone 2500.
No, it'll be in the eye there, the eye there. Altered Carbon is saying that our little phones will be in our eye. That's what they project on Netflix.
I know where I want my phone.
Where? I don't know what any of that means. I don't even know what any of that means. All right, we're going to take listener questions in a little bit. What's Shift and Steer? Is that another podcast you're
doing?
Shift
and Steer is another podcast. I do it with a guy named Brad Fanshaw, who used to run – he was president of Boyd Coddington Wheels, mm-hmm. and he runs Bond Speed Wheels. And Aaron Hagar, who has Rat Runner's Garage up in Lake Tahoe, and he's Sammy Hagar's son.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
those guys are just friends of mine for years and years. We just want to do a podcast together, so we just have a great time.
Does Sammy ever come on the show?
No.
Well, there you go.
No, but
why not?
I don't know. I don't know that we ever asked him.
Is he a car guy?
Yeah, dude. He's been a car guy forever.
Really?
I can't try 55.
Come on. Well, that's a car song. That's not
still
a car.
Because he was a car guy.
Yeah, he's got a nice collection of cars. I know that he flew to Italy on his private jet mm-hmm. to custom order his LaFerrari.
Wow.
And which was at Monterey. I think it was at the Quail 2 years ago.
Boy, I didn't know
that.
Have
you met him?
Yeah.
How's his hair looking? Does he have that hair still? Or
he looks great, actually. He looks great.
And I've been to his Cabo home. I spent the day with him with some friends years ago, back in the day, Zuckerman, partying with Sammy. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was enjoyable. It was fun. Lots of tequila, lots of sunshine. Great guy. I didn't see any cars that day.
Just
though.
Follow the dude on Instagram. His whole life is fun. He's just he don't wear shoes. He's just got sandals on the whole time. Everywhere he's like, I'm at the beach. I'm on my plane. I'm at the beach. I'm on my plane. And he's just constantly mixing
it's
drinks
a good
and
life,
doing more
right?
stuff. And then he goes and plays a concert. He wears his sandals and a t-shirt. He plays concerts. And Michael Anthony from Van Halen as well is with Sammy Hagar mm-hmm. And all of his bands. And he's Brad Fanshaw's business partner in the Wheel Company. And Michael's great. He's got a huge car collection as well. He's a great guy. He goes with us to the auction. We all get together and get a crew together to go to Bear Jackson auctions and things like that. And Michael goes through the catalog and just goes through every one of them, likes to write down the price of every single car.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just – like that's
That's their deal.
He's living the life that Uzi Nissan wants to fall into. Uzi Nissan wants to go from his tech company to this guy's life.
If I sold my, you know, Uzi Nissan name, I'd be buying cars with the rest of the guys we get to hang out with over there.
Well, you're listening to Matt D'Andrea from CarCast and the Southern California automotive scene that we're all part of here. We'll be right back with more Spikes Car Radio, and we're going to answer your questions. If you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with the terms MSRP. You might even know what it stands for. But what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your True Price car is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their True Price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
What's it like for you watching games of your son coaching?
Agonizing.
It's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
You know, I didn't know there was actual work here.
Recent guests include Rich Eisen, John Harbaugh, Judge Judy, and John Madden.
I thought one of the greatest jobs in coaching in the NFL was Jim's first year with the 49ers.
Exclusively on Podcast One Sportsnet. Get episodes every Tuesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Great time to be a Wolverine.
You're listening to Spike's Car Radio.
All right, we're back. Zuckerman's getting antsy. He's going to make some money.
Yeah.
Really, today? How much money? It's Friday here, by the way.
Okay.
It's about 10:30. How much money can you make between 10:30 and 6 today?
Money doesn't sleep, Ferristed. Money doesn't know what day of the week
they
it is.
They can't make the money at the office without you?
Okay, they need guidance. A ship needs a captain.
Yes.
Right?
I thought you had partners. Can't they be?
Everybody's got a role. Everybody's got a role in the war machine.
Right.
And I have a particular role. Which is what? I am.
Head bonker?
Exactly. I'm the guy that's moving the little assets around, like pushing the tanks across the board.
Yes. I've seen your generals come into your office where they all have files and they ask quick questions. And you go, yes, no, all right, yes, let's do that. And then you get a phone call. You're going to have a heart attack. You got to be careful. Do you ever monitor your heart in that situation? It's like an OR. It's like a triage unit in there, a legal triage unit.
I know. And the stress is not good for me, but I'm a stress junkie, and I'm an adrenaline junkie, and I like to be overstimulated.
And did you get that Chevy Chase road rage story I sent you
Absolutely.
Yesterday?
Absolutely.
Did you see how bad he looks in that situation? If you didn't read the story, Chevy Chase is chasing a bunch of idiot kids in their 20s who did some cut him off in upstate New York.
I know, and I already told you that I realized that there is no senior fighting league, that I'm hanging up my gloves. I'm not going to be so angry anymore.
Yet it's hard.
It's hard.
Zuckerman and I both suffer from being angry guys on the road.
Do you suffer from that, Matt?
At all? You don't seem like it. You seem very nice, kind of calm, rational guy.
I kind of don't.
You're so lucky.
Like, I kind of
You are
don't.
A lucky man.
But yeah. I do have a pet peeve. It's like, I don't know why, but people that don't signal, that irritates
all right. Now
the
you
hell
sound like
me.
Pee-wee Herman. We're talking about serious shit, like rolling the window down and punching someone in the head. Getting out of the car. You know, we've had this guy. I don't know if we talked about it on the show. But like, remember the other clip I sent you yesterday of the guy in New York who pushes the woman down.
Wait a minute.
Before you interrupt, remember I was in that situation in Santa Monica where a woman came up to me and started screaming and my window was down and she punched the phone out of my hand. And what did you say that I should have done to her?
Okay, put me on the spot. I said, you should have flung your door open so fast and so hard that her little body would have been flown like dirty laundry off a clothesline.
You said bloody her nose or something. But your point was you have a right to defend yourself in a situation where you're being attacked. And I was innocent in this one. This woman was violating my space. She came at me. I rolled the window down to see what she was going to do. And she punched me.
Okay,
punched
me. We're going to back up. And here's, the best part of the story. I got to tell it. Is that the reason she was angry, you may have cut her off, you may not have, but when she started giving you the finger and misbehaving, you and Johnny laughed at her.
All right.
And
that
was true.
Now, we did not cut her off.
Made her nuts.
We were in traffic. I pulled into the left lane. She was on her phone looking down, and she started moving forward, and her automatic Audi measuring system, braking system, broke. And stopped for her so she didn't smash into me because she was on her goddamn phone, right? And that scared her. And then she went crazy on us. She pulled up next to us, started screaming at us. We turned like, what the hell is going on? And we did laugh at her. We laughed.
That was the mistake. It's the loss of dignity.
We're like, why are you screaming at us because you're on your phone and not paying attention? It was that moment. But then she got out of her car. She took a water bottle, threw it at my car, dented my door, and then came – and she had a kid in the car, and she's coming at two grown men. Now, we're not going to do anything. We don't hurt women. That's not the point. But it's like getting back to what happened in New York, this is what happened to this guy. This woman got out of her car in New York of all places and opens a guy's car door. And he goes, what the hell's going on? And pushes her into the snow. Okay, she fell into the snow. But why is he getting arrested?
Okay, I'm going to be a dick here. The video was wonderful. He got out. He struck a blow for all of us that have had a woman yelling at us. And
but it's not a. It's this has nothing to do with gender. This has to do with men and women. If you get out of your car and you reach into someone else's car, aren't you now kind of under attack, Zuckerman?
Okay.
And now do you understand why I did nothing? Because I knew in that moment.
Did you see the video?
No, I didn't.
Okay, the video was great. He gets out and he, with two hands, he just decks her in the chest and she picks up off of the ground and flies backwards. Her little body flies backwards into the, flat on her back into the snowbank. It was just such an effective deck. And so, yeah. And then stunned that happened.
What did she think was going to happen?
Is what I don't know. But see, in that situation, if I did not do anything to this woman. She dented my door. I just kept going and got out of the situation. I wanted no part of her life. I did not want to follow her. I did not want to call the police. I never wanted to see the person again. I just didn't want to even think about her.
Yeah.
Right? But it raises an interesting question because man and or woman, Zuckerman, and you may not know this, you're a lawyer. When you get out of your car and you approach someone and you're in their space, you're through a window or you open a door, doesn't the driver have a right to defend themselves in that
moment? It becomes a question of what is excessive in the circumstances. And I don't think charges will be filed on that guy.
There were charges filed on him.
I don't think it'll proceed because she was being aggressive. And at the end of the day, he's going to say he felt threatened. He felt he was under attack.
He did. In the right set of circumstances.
I think that the picture, the video can be viewed as really bad and something must be done. Charges must be filed. But at the end of the day, I think it was mutual combat.
Yes.
And a reasonable person in his set of circumstances may have felt threatened enough that they needed to defend themselves. He didn't punch her. He pushed her. I think he gets away with it, but just barely.
Woman was going to assault him. She was going to hit him in the face because she'd already punched him through the window. So he was taking a proactive step to go, do not lay hands on me again.
It was,
and I don't see any problem with that. But ladies especially, stay in your cars.
Do you remember what happened to me in the Cedar Sinai parking structure?
I've noticed this thing going on in L.A. where teenage girls and young women, they're doing things that I don't do in traffic. Like, I don't flip people off anymore because I don't want to be shot.
Yeah.
I don't get out of cars because I don't want to be shot. I don't want to be beat up. I don't want to die because of traffic. And I have, you know, I can defend myself, I guess, if I get in a fight.
It's not a gender issue.
But I say this to my wife. I go, Eric, you can't do that. Look at you. Eyes straight ahead is not worth dying in traffic.
The car makes people think that they are invincible, that they're isolated. They've got their Transformers armor on.
But these people are getting out of cars. Getting anyway, out of cars. I don't want to.
They're
wanna
opening
go
other people's doors.
They are. Yeah. They are. All right. I want to talk about. I want to get to listener questions because I ask for them every time, and everybody gives great questions. One question, Zuckerman, that's come up over and over again on the show, and that we tried to address with C.J. Wilson, and this viewer listener points out that we never really got there. Was but I thought with Matt here, this would be good. And this is from Jason. He's noticing what I noticed too. Most people can't afford the cars that we're talking about, right? Most people who are listening right now can't afford them. You know, when we all started out, we couldn't afford a nice car. So the sub $5,000 range for collector cars is what Jason is asking about, okay?
Yeah, for what, a collector car.
Not, you know, a collector car, a sports car, something to run on the weekend that feels fun. And I'm going to try to find it right here. Here, I got a little something to see if I can pull it up. So this is what I do, Jason, all right? You guys can think about some other suggestions. I, this morning, saw your question on Instagram. I went on to eBay Motors. This is what I did, and this is what I still do. And I plugged in on eBay Motors $5,000, and then I sorted the years between 1960 and 1980. I did that, okay? And then I sorted a third time for buy-it-now prices, okay?
Okay.
And within a minute, I came up with a 1969 Volkswagen Beetle Classic with original paint, a one-owner car with 80,000 miles in this beautiful light blue metallic. This Volkswagen, Zuckerman, I was going to send it to you, but I figured I'd talk to you about it here. This car is being sold by the original owner from 1969, and it's been a California car its whole life. Listen to this. 1969 Volkswagen Beetle, great condition. Original owner sale, 87,000 miles, which is fine, right, for an old German car. Automatic stick shift, he writes.
No way.
Automatic stick shift. All right. Maintained religiously. So there was a priest involved. Original engine, cold starts immediately. No engine issues, well-kept leather. I looked at the pictures. They're perfect. No tears. Original paint. This is a well-kept, stocked classic. Registration up to date through July 2018. Locals only. But that doesn't mean anything. You can have the car shipped. And here's the car. Look at that.
There it is. Buy.
Yeah.
Buy it now, which, you know, that's the ask. $4,999.
I think the first car that you get, It's not about – it's about getting something old that transports you to a different era, that makes you – that connects you to what it was like to drive something in 1969 or 1979. It doesn't have to be a $100,000 car. I'm happy to – I would be happy to get in that car and drive it. I would find it wonderful.
Like, we would buy that car right now, right?
Absolutely.
I didn't want to tell you guys about it because I knew you would buy it. But there you go. I mean, that's just a sort, and that was – I didn't even get through all the pages, but Jason, if that's your real name, that's what I would do. He's also asking about the Miata. And the Miata, we know,
yeah,
great car if you can get one for that number. It's the most raced car in the world because they're inexpensive and there's so many modifications you can make for racing.
And sure. Mazda supports them greatly through all of their parts dealers. If you are racing and you have the racing license, you can go to pretty much any Mazda dealer and get parts for it, I believe.
Right. There you go. All right. So
buying a car that you think is going to be fun or trigger some childhood emotions or something that are exciting is one thing. And then maybe buying a car because you think it's going to go up in value someday, some sort of investment car, is not necessarily the same car.
And I would tell you that I've never done so well when I'm buying investments. Right. Just like I don't pick stocks all that well. If I stick to what I like and it doesn't really matter how expensive it is. But if I like it and I like to drive it, I usually come out a winner because other people are going to like to drive it, too. But
yeah.
Any time I bought something and I thought, geez, I'm just going to buy this and hold it and not drive it or I don't want to drive it. Never been good for me.
We got to go look at that Volkswagen, by the way. That car is beautiful.
Why do we got to look at it? Just buy it.
Just press the button right now. Any updates on John Cena? Ben wants to know. All right, a couple of interesting developments. We don't have the countersuit, right?
If it was California, what they have filed is something called a demur. That's what you would call it in California, where your first as a defense, your first filing is saying, basically, Your Honor, there's no case here whatsoever. Throw it out right away as a matter of law. And I would intuit that what they're saying is that in the state of Florida, a vehicle purchase contract must be contained in that one long form document. That's why it's one that long form with all the crap in it. So the code in Florida, whatever their civil code is, probably says a sales agreement must be contained in all the terms must be in one document. And that's why we've seen the evolution of that, of the form you sign going from really small to really big, because all the terms have to be in there. And they're probably saying anything that's outside of that sales document is invalid. It's invalid as a matter of Florida law because it's not contained in the actual sales agreement. And I think the judge is going to say, well, that's not – I'm not buying that right off the bat, and I'm not throwing the case out. You know, you can conduct discovery. You can do other law and motion on it. I still think Cena is going to lose.
You know, and the rumor is that Tom Cruise bought the car. And, you know, I thought it was nonsense, but now I'm hearing Tom Cruise is doing a Shelby movie.
Yeah.
Shelby movie? Isn't he doing that? So now suddenly.
That rumor has been around for a long time, though.
What?
The Tom Cruise Shelby movie. But so but on still, the 4GT, though, you're saying Tom Cruise couldn't have got on the list?
Well, we've talked about, you know, maybe Ford says we don't want it to fall into the hands of Xenu for a billion years. I don't know.
This is listeners who have told us through a friend of a friend, and it's pure rumor.
Pure that, speculation.
But from a Ford dealership down in Florida that what they're hearing is this: the car was sold to Tom Cruise.
And when we connect the dots, we know that Cena lives in the same area.
Yeah.
That
now we're selling conspiracies.
Okay,
this.
But anybody like that owns that car eventually is going to come out as the owner of that car. It's that ridiculous color, and there's not many of them.
What color was it? I don't remember.
It's this weird bluish teal thing. Exactly. Some other. Yeah.
Oh, it was a special order color.
They were all were. I thought that blue.
They're all that blue, right?
Yeah.
But there are lots of those cars floating around.
How many, really? You say lots,
and I think
a few hundred.
You know, maybe it's striped elite if they don't have all
I
that.
I have not pressed CAA about this yet. I keep forgetting. All right, I'm going to press.
Invisible wrap. Test mule wrap.
We have another close connection. My business partner, John, his brother-in-law, makes movies with Tom Cruise. There is a way into this. They make those Mission Impossible movies together.
Mission Impossible.
I'm closer than I think to finding this out. All right, let's get to some more questions here. Someone's asking the 964 RS America, the 1993. What do you guys think about it? We've had that question before, right? We don't think much of it, right? Is it a special 964 now? It never was back then. What do you think, Zuckerman?
Okay. Since RSs are unaffordable and 964s are impossible to find, if you find a good RS America, then you've got a good 964. Buy it on that basis. But is it more valuable than a regular 964 because it's an RS America? The answer is no, because that was kind of sopped to the American market at the time, put on door pulls and a couple of other little bits that make it look like an ersatz RS, but it's not an RS.
Ersatz.
Is there a drastic premium on the America versus the non?
A little bit. People try to get a little extra money.
Yeah, it's the confusing part. Like the RS part, the name, that's good. The America part, not so good. Like you want 964 RSs, everybody wants that. The RS America. It doesn't have the engine, it doesn't have the suspension. It's skim milk, right?
Ooh.
And the 964 RS is half and half, baby.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? All right, moderator.
Yeah.
935 talk, please.
Oh. Okay.
Do you have any updates on the 935? Oh. And this is from your buddy Apex Dream Cars, whoever that is.
Right. So, I mean, as far as updates, I don't know where you're picking it up. So, you know, we bought the car 2 years ago. Adam brought it to Monterey this past August, raced it.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Canepa did a little bit of work for us for a lot of money.
Brucey.
And as Canepa does.
Canepized, as we call it.
And
you get your money's worth with the talk.
That's right.
And you
and
also
the,
get.
And then we get the conniption when you get the bill.
Yes. But you do get a hell of a lot of documentation. You get a nice folder of everything.
Hey, wait, did you get the folder with the Q-tips?
Do you have the a guy? The, yeah, oh, we all have that. The guy pointing. It's like they give you a little photo album, and it's always the guy with the glove pointing at the things.
That there was Q-tip that. Yeah, yes, there was a lot
the,
of that.
He's got a Q-tip against that's the door, favorite. And we love that. Could be any door.
Well, I mean, I guess we could have taken these photos ourselves for a lot less money, but the car, you know, the car works great.
Have you driven it?
No.
Oh.
No.
I would demand that today.
Now, we did sign it up for RenSport.
Oh,
and
wow.
And Adam wants to drive it there.
RenSport Reunion is the big Porsche Woodstock Festival that's happening this fall, right?
It's that all is
the
in race September.
Cars, historical race cars. You hear them on the track, you race them around. You guys got to check it out.
Now, we did sign it up for Monterey this year, but there's probably a change in the car. We're probably not going to race that in Monterey. We're going to bring something else just because of a sponsorship deal and advertising and stuff. But really all we've done on the car is we just started taking, you know, doing plugs and wires on it. It needed wires, and I'm not sure why it wasn't done. We believe it was losing a cylinder during the race. And other than that, it looks good. It's fantastic. And we are going to tune it as well. We're going to do it. We're going to put it on the dyno and put some numbers down on it.
So probably didn't Canepa do that? For all that money?
Yeah, I don't
to put
don't
you
know.
On this spot?
I don't know that he did.
Sean wants to know when you're going to buy a Porsche. When is it going to happen?
You know, I've been craving
what do you, what
one
do you
for
have?
A while.
What do you drive yourself? What are your cars?
I have a 2001 E46 M3 with a supercharger.
Oh, really? How does that work? A supercharger.
Zuckerman is so into
the last
BMWs
of the
right
V8
now.
Interceptors. Remember from I mean, where does that fit? How does it work?
It's downstairs. It's in the garage.
Does it come out the top?
No. It's not a twin screw supercharger on top of the engine. It's a centrifugal supercharger. So it uses a Vortec with an air to water intercooler. This was Adam's car. Adam built this car in the day, and he bought it new, and he special ordered it, sunroof delete, and as lightweight as possible. And he drove it for like 2 years, put about 12,000-13,000 miles on it, and then a shop used it as kind of an R&D car and supercharged it and stuff, and it never really ran well. So the past 6 months or so, I've been going through and I've been fixing the car and custom made.
And how does it run now?
And now it runs fast.
Does it make
strong.
A funny noise?
It does squeal a little bit. The supercharger does have a little bit of whine to it that I like. And
exciting.
It's got about 20,000 miles on it. It's a 2001 with 20,000 miles.
There was
miles.
A question somewhere here, Zuckerman, about the 1M. I'm scanning down right now. Hold on. Because, you know, Zuckerman's all about these little frat boy BMW 1Ms.
Call it what you will. Once you're, it looks one way from the outside, but when you drive it, amazing.
I drove the dine-in version with the turbo that makes whatever they added.
Yeah, 400.
All right, here it is. It's from this dude, Tom.
Did you like it?
It was great. Yeah. I mean, the short wheelbase and the suspension make for a bumpy ride, but
Tom,
but it just blasts around town. It's so much fun.
Tom says, I usually have a beater commuter car. Right now, a secondhand Golf R. Excellent choice, dude. I'm not sure I would give that up. But after seeing your post, I'm jonesing hard for a 1M. Is it a reasonable day-to-day car? He drives 45 to 100 miles per day, and that's Tom. What do you think, Zuckerman? I know what you're going to say.
I say yes.
Is it reasonable, though?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, you have two of these things. The one that's not all jacked up, does that have that same turbo pop?
It doesn't make the noises.
So
it feels...
That makes it more reasonable.
Okay, it feels fast as fuck. It's even the stock one is fast as fuck. The one that's been modified and chipped and tipped and all of that is a demon. It's insane. But yes, you could easily drive that every day.
Sure. It's a beautiful car. It's really fast. And you know where it's really best is like when I had it on the PCH and you're playing Frogger there and you're darting in and out, it's very capable in that situation.
And what about when the road's uneven? Does it bother me
compared to Porsches? Yeah. It's
I'm driving an E46 with suspension on it, so I feel everything. And the car makes a ton of noise.
I think it's actually softer than many of the Porsches I drive. So to me, it's actually a bit of a cushy car for me to drive.
Yeah, like everybody that drives old cars and things like that, you get into even something new like a like 1M,
which is 2011. BMW.
And anybody getting out of their 6 Series or something is going to go, wow, this thing rides rough. But not compared to all the other, like I have a 92 Alfa Romeo Spider. I mean, you know, my M3 rides rough, but it doesn't ride rougher than that thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. I love that car. I love that funny Alfa shift position.
It's so peculiar
and wonderful.
Someone wants to know what my favorite Hoyer watch is.
Yes. The one you're wearing is gorgeous.
I am wearing it. You're right. I'm wearing, this isn't my favorite, but this is a Siffert Colors Autavia, it's called. And I'm wearing it because my favorite watch right now is this reissue I sent you, Zuckerman. They're reissuing the Tag Heuer's reissuing the Siffert Autavia.
And you told me to buy one, and what happened? I've
Caliber.
Fucked up.
It's in association with Caliber 11, which is this, I think, a Tag Heuer-associated website in Australia. Well, I know that. And they worked together to design this watch. They made 100 of them. I was lucky enough to get an advanced phone call.
You got one? Jerry got one.
I procured one for Mr. Seinfeld. And then I told you.
And I didn't.
I sent it to you. I said, order it right now.
I understand. They
sold out in 10 hours.
I got busy and I missed out. You guys, but the watch you have on right now is so good looking
right now.
You should take
a picture
of it and post it right now because it's really nice.
This is a great little watch.
And under the lights here, it's
If you want, I can sell you my other Autavia. You know the one with the black dial and the white sub dials?
We'll talk.
As long as
never
you're
agree right away.
Yeah.
Someone here is taking issue, Zuckerman, with your blue 997 TT, and they say, as I said originally, seems out of character for the rest of your collection. Please explain. Now, what I like about that car is the color. It's Meissen blue, right? Which is very much in character with the type of stuff we all collect, right?
Right.
But it's the.
It's the twin
turbo. The blandness of the twin turbo.
Okay, it's the twin turbo PDK that might throw somebody off. And the truth is that every once in a while, it's nice to have a car that you don't have to work too hard in. But at the same time, don't forget, this is a 997. It's smaller than the current car. It's got a great suspension. It handles really well. It's fast as fuck. It's a really great car, and if you're looking, if anybody says, what's the first Porsche to buy, I'm always going to say buy a 997 and buy as much 997 as you can. I think those are the greatest series of 911s out there.
What was the issue somebody was having? Because I think it's a great car.
Yeah.
Just around the other metal. Like, you know what it's like. When you have a collection and it's curated and you start to have iconic cars in it and bigger stuff, when you drop something else in the middle of it, it always looks odd to everyone.
Right.
The BMW 1M. And this car, which I don't agree with. I like that blue car. I think it kind of makes sense in the collection. Because, you know, and Zuckerman, you and I were just talking about this the other day. We've been talking about this for 20 years. I've been talking about Jerry for 20 years. Money confuses the issue every time with these cars. And it gets confusing to this guy because he doesn't understand. What we forget is it's about driving. And when you find a car that you love to drive, it doesn't matter what it costs.
It's like our 87.
And I've seen it over and over again with these multi-million dollar Ferrari collections, and you talk to the guy and he says, you know what I drive every day? My 328. And you go, why? And it's because it's not about money. It's about the experience behind the wheel. And that doesn't mean you can't experience money behind the wheel at all.
Like I said, I drive a 92 Alfa Romeo Spider.
That's right. You know,
like, it's a money pit. I'm never going to make money on that car. But
and you ask me what would I choose between a 550 and a 356 Speedster? Speedster every time. I've driven the 550s. You know, they're beautiful to have. But $5-6 million car sitting there, great. I don't like driving.
Right.
I'm sorry. I just don't. I want to get in my Speedster more often than not. So, you know, there you go. There's a little useful wisdom for you guys.
And I'll tell you one last thing about the 1M.
Go ahead.
Not only do I like
it. Now he's defensive.
No, I'm not. But I'm going to give you a clue because you both probably have some kids. Not only do I like driving it, my 16-year-old son likes driving it.
Yeah.
And it's a stick.
And, 16.
And
wouldn't you like driving anything?
But most kids don't drive stick. Okay.
Yeah.
He's the only one that can drive a stick in the whole of his high school. And he loves to drive that car. And that thrills me that he's learned how to row a manual gearbox.
Yeah. No. Well, he has to. All of our kids sitting here have to drive manual transmissions.
And what's your thought on that? Do you send your kid to like a Bondurant school or anything like that?
Totally.
Or do you?
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't
I'm sending both my boys to racing school. And I'll tell you why. Because I remember when I went, the way they talk to you in that first 5 minutes, like,
I understand you want to go fast and drive like an idiot, and this is the place to do it.
Yeah.
You don't do it on the roads, and they we're going to get you comfortable with screeching tires and spins and everything else. And it really did help my driving after that. I never panic anymore in a panic situation.
Unless a woman's coming at you.
Yeah.
With a water bottle and a baby.
I didn't panic there. Yeah, I was just dumbfounded. I was just like, what? No, I was not panicked. I just didn't want to do anything stupid like the guy in New York who pushed the lady in the snow.
I think everybody getting their license should go to a driving school.
I totally believe that.
You should do the skid pad car in slow motion.
And if you can't do that, find a parking lot somewhere and get your, you know, on a rainy day, on a snowy day, get your kids used to that stuff and that feeling. And it really does help. You don't want your body pumping that adrenaline in that situation because then you're making mistakes.
You don't have to do, you know, $4,000 3-day racing school.
No,
like,
not at
go
all.
Do a $500 half day, like
such
entry to driver's ed bondurant school program. Every
in many countries, you take in Europe, Germany, for example, they really have to learn how to drive a car. And I was always nothing surprised me more when my daughter was taking her driver's test, and I said, "How did you do on the parallel parking?" And she said, "They don't have that on the test."
Yeah.
It's that they've dumbed the test down.
How do you not? Where else do you park in L.A. if you're not parallel parking,
right? So they
right?
dumbed the test down, and we had to learn on old jalopies. We've had the advantage of starting with really shitty cars and working our way up to—
My science teacher taught me how to drive, Mr. Monastir. He was also the driver's ed teacher. And it's, you know, if you imagine that, it's me and two other of my flunky friends in the back seat.
On a hot day.
And just, you know, what are we doing here? You know, you learn the rules of the road, but there's nothing. You know, the one thing that I remember he taught me is like every 3 seconds, move your eyes to the different mirrors, left to middle to the right. And I do use that constantly. But that's it. The rest of it I learned on the road, and the big chunk I learned was at racing school many years later.
If you take a driving test now, I don't know what kids are doing. Are you allowed to use the reverse camera? Or do they say, don't look at that, use your mirrors?
They have you park in a supermarket parking lot situation where you pull head in and then you back out. That's it.
Do we have to be out of here at 11 o'clock? Are we okay to keep going here a little bit?
I think you have a couple minutes.
Okay. We got a couple more minutes. Okay. What else should we talk about, guys? Oh, Zuckerman. I know what we want. There's one last thing I wanted to discuss with you. And thank you, everybody, for your questions. It's very nice of you guys to do that. We have a very passionate listener base, Zuckerman.
You're slitting your eyes at me. You're looking very, very Jewy.
Shifty.
At me.
I'm saying
shifty
a nice thing to our listeners, who I like. And
but you're going to try to get me right now. I see that look on your face. What are you cooking up over there, Ferriston? What do you think you're going to get me?
You're so paranoid. I'm not going to get you on anything.
Okay. Let's hear it.
But this show probably isn't going to air for a few weeks. But this week we had two very cool track-focused cars announced, the 488 Pista Ferrari and the new GT3 RS. And the new GT3 RS, Zuckerman, I think is something you and I should discuss. This car came out. It came out in that spectacularly weird green. What is it called? Martian green. But that's just the camera car. They always do that for the photos.
The interior, oh boy.
But, you know, what are we doing with this car
at
this point, right?
We're not.
If you're, you know, one of these guys who's buying all the new Porsches that come out, you've already ordered your GT2 RS, which is your
I was going to ask you, when you came and did my show, you said you guys ordered one together or separately.
Have,
I don't know.
Yes.
Did you get it?
No, not yet.
Not until probably September.
And now Zuckerman has wormed his way into my GT3. Yesterday he called me. He knew. See, this is why it's tough to do business with a lawyer. He calls me and he goes, "Look, I have a GT3 Touring on order, but I'm going to give it to my partner. So I need half of yours." He knows in that conversation I can't say no. He knows that I have to say yes. I have to do the right thing.
Do you make him buy the watch you're trying to sell to close that deal?
No, that's fine. I want to keep that watch. I don't want him to have it. But he wants.
Now you don't want me to have it.
Now he's out.
Now I want the fucking watch. You already told me.
You can have it. I will do that.
No,
for
I don't
you.
Want it now.
You are my friend, and we do fun things together. So you always. But he wants 18-way seats in the car.
because his back doesn't. That's fine with me. I don't care.
And my
shit.
Carcass does not. I am larger, wider than you two guys. And the buckets, the carbon fiber buckets, are not.
They don't look as nice in the car.
You're
though.
Right.
You know that.
I don't disagree with you. Carbon fiber buckets look way cooler.
When you look into that, I have my blue car in
I'm
the garage
not
right now.
Disagreeing with
and
you.
And you just go, my God, those not, like ribs, those alien ribs of those seats.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Okay.
I just can't sit.
So there. This is what I'm going to do. That I'm going to let you have half this car. I'm going to let you put the 18-way seats in it, okay?
And you pick everything
in exchange.
Else.
No, yeah, I already did. It's already ordered. It's ready to go.
Okay, here
you're going to like everything that's
I knew
in it,
something
right?
Something was coming.
Unless there's something you don't. Unless there's some special thing you like
the
in GT3.
Thing I
what
asked, is the only thing I ask for you? The 18-way seats, and the rest is yours.
All right. Well, I mean, little conveniences that we need. The lift kit I threw in there. I had to do that. Sometimes
yeah.
I don't know if I threw the fire extinguisher in there. I like that too. It doesn't matter. But oh, and I think I put a radio in it. I put the nice radio.
I like the Burmeister.
There you go. I don't think it's a Burmeister. I think they only
Bose.
Offer Bose.
Okay.
Okay. This is in exchange for that. I want to put racing belts in the GT2 RS. I don't want a cage, but I want to put the real,
you want
the
put
real
like a harness
deal.
We're
going to have sport seats
and...
in there, and I want to put the real deal up the crotch racing belts in there.
Well, geez. Let me think about this. Hmm. What can I extract from you, Ferrison?
Would you
how
like a nice Hoyer Octavia?
No, 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 no.
By chance, with a black dial and white
if
sub-dials?
You still had the squirrel, I would. If you still had Lloyd the squirrel, I would take him in exchange. But no, I think it's a great idea. You don't have to sell me on that idea.
Right. And we just leave him in the back. You can use the regular seatbelts, but. I know my
why
kids.
Why would you think you have to sell me on that?
My kids really want to be in a race car, and I think that's
the
if
that's
if ever
bigger,
you're going to have that
that's
harness
the
in there.
Question, of course. Yeah. Why am I letting your kids into the GT2 RS? This was a very sneaky thing you just did, trying to get the implied permission to have those
it's
little.
It's going
to
be half my car. Can I put whoever I want in it?
Not children.
Why you don't know how? See, I didn't do what you did. I'm nuts in a car. With kids. As you know, my kids know we don't eat in cars. When we step in, we step over that little sill onto the carpet.
You got to click your feet before you get in.
Right. What I told him, my father had hobbies, and he was so precious about his hobbies and so hard about doing it the right way that I never wanted to do anything with him. So with my kids, they could do whatever they want because I didn't want to alienate them. No, of course your kids can use the car. I'm fooling
you.
With you.
This, and, I know you're joking.
And you can.
That's very
and,
sweet.
Yes. Yeah. And remember, though, I'm selling. You know what? Here's something you don't know. I've got 10 people that want half of the car. I'm going to make a killing. On this GT2
I mean, look,
RS.
Wait, are you guys allowed to do that? You're allowed to sell them half a car
we've
and gotta, resell
we've
it?
Got to wrap up the show. We've got to wrap up here, Zuckerman.
I don't know how the relationship goes. I'm just curious.
We've got to say goodbye to all of you. Yeah. But, you know, if you've got 10, I'm sure I could put 10 together and we could really make some money
on
this
car. Let's commit fraud.
Yeah.
I'm into this.
Well, we're already there. All right, Matt.
thanks
for stopping by, Matt.
Yeah,
it's been a long time
me.
Coming. You can follow Matt where? Where do we find you? You're Motorator on Instagram.
And Motorator on all the social media. And check out carcastshow.com and shiftandsteer.com.
That's right. Zuckerman's the at the real Zuckerman on Instagram. And his law firm is called, I forget, Zuckerman.
Carpenter, Zuckerman & Rowley, the
there
best personal injury lawyers out there.
And that's how he gets all his money for Porsches, ladies and gentlemen, from the wins. And I'm at Spike Ferriston. And you can find me on Instagram, message me there. And as long as you don't use all caps like that guy, Jesse Valentine, I will answer your questions if I can. We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio. Download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.